this is ritual. It's ritual season. It's a few weeks after the summer solstice. The only way you can serve Satan is through blood and sexuality. And the offset of that is money, but it's blood and sexuality. And it's all tied into a numeric equation. It's very easy to see. The Most High has laid this entire world bare for us to see it. And people think, oh, you're reaching, you're making this up. I'm not. I've been doing this for years. This is what I see. The Most High has manifested what men have done in secret to the whole world. And it's even in scripture that we can give it reproof to the whole world what this truly is, so we can come out of this world. And the ignorant will remain ignorant. That's why I love in Revelation, it says, let the unrighteous be unrighteous still. Let he who is righteous be righteous still. So you can't change anybody's mind. Like I said, the best verse that'll help people change who they really are is Proverbs 1:26, all the way down to the end of the chapter. That is the only passage in scripture that's really going to make people turn their heads. Because don't nobody want to be mocked for their calamity. Nobody want to be mocked for their stupidity. And I think sometimes shame is a powerful tool to get people to stop doing the stupidity that they're doing. I mean, obviously, babying these people aren't waking them up. Talking to them lowly and sweet and doing that is not waking them up, because they're hearing other pages do the same exact thing, because nobody wants to overstep. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to stand up for the truth. Everybody wants to wine and dine you into the truth and coddle you into it and baby you into it. That's not what I do over here. I specifically talk this way. I specifically say the things that I say so people can jolt out of this world. This world is too nice. It's too PC. It's too soft. So if you hear the truth softly, most times, if you have a weak spirit, you are going to gravitate to pages and gravitate to people who are going to baby you through it without any sense of urgency. And we are not in a time where you can play around. We're not in a time where you can take things lightly. We're not in a time where you can say, you know what, I'll get it tomorrow. You know what, I'll get it next week. You know what, I'll do it the week after. Oh, I'll wake up in my own time. We are not at that time. As you can see, the last couple of the events that happened are showing you that we are on a narrative that is not stopping, that is not easing up. So you better get used to harsh truths. And you better get used to turning or pivoting at a drop of a dime. I can't rush Yahuwah's progress with you, but it is up to you to work out your fear with what? Work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And then say, work it out and go sit by the beach and have a Mai Tai and hope everything is going to be okay and have somebody talk to you to pour honey in the ear to make you feel good. I could do that with some of these episodes, but I'm not going to do all of them. Look at what happened to Corey Comprotore, the fire chief, or the volunteer fire chief that retired. They got his head blown off at a Trump rally. And the first thing they do with dead people, the first thing they do is go to his socials and find out what kind of man he really was, which is, it's a good or bad thing, but it's funny when people do it, because people actually talk to a dead guy's Twitter account. They repost and requote a dead guy's Twitter account. But everybody sees what he was. He called one of the politicians, the Muslim politician that they always use every time there's a Palestinian outbreak against Israel. They always go to her. I think her name is Ian Amar. He called her the spawn of Satan when another guy was talking about what's going to happen to a million Palestinians that are thrown out of their homes and war-torn Gaza and other places in Palestine that destruction has happened. He goes, they'll get over it. The Japanese did. like saying really like really MAGA right wing Republican stuff. And then here he is. He was excited when I think one of the parody accounts called Cat Turd asked everybody, "So where is everybody doing this week? What is everybody doing this weekend?" And he goes, "Trump rally in Butler, PA," like excited. And then you get your head popped off. And then they said, "Oh, he's a hero because he guarded his family." Fam, that's like me going to a Bloods and Crips war ground, going to where the Bloods and Crips pop off at. Going to a high, let's say Chicago, because that's what's popping right now. Let's say if I go into a Chicago project where the Gangsta Disciples hang out at, and there's a battle between them, and I take my family and I guard them from bullets going over top of my head, and I get shot, and then everybody calls me a hero. That's stupidity. You show up to a Freemasonic event, that all these events are rituals. Like I said, it's blood and sexuality is how you worship Satan. And then the money is the offset of that. So every event, everything that's on TV, every show is a ritual. It is a worship of the flesh, worship of blood, worship of money. So you go there and expect people to call you a hero because you get hit in the back of your head and you fall to the ground holding your family or holding your daughters. That's stupidity to me. And now that we know the understanding of the numeric value of his name, which is CC, which is 33, because C is the third letter of the alphabet. 27 in Gematria is sacrifice. He was at Fire Station 27. He happens to die 50 years and 27 days from his birthdays, basically. His birthday was in June 16th. So he dies 27 days after. And people still don't pick it up. Even when I show it to him, it's like, oh, I don't believe it. Then he dies 3 weeks and 6 days after his birthday. 3-6-666. This stuff is getting so easy to find and look at. It's laughable to me when people don't see it. And so, well, why can't you predict it? Just like Cypher said to Neo, when Neo scared him when he was looking at the computer, he said, "It's too much information to decode the matrix." That means I would have to go through every single person who was at that rally. Then I would go through every single city that Trump was going to be in. Then I have to go through every single. I'm not doing all that. Just because you can't predict it does not mean you can't do the back. You can't backmask it. That means you can't go backwards to it. It still comes out the same way, even if I didn't predict it. It still shows, ha, I caught you. And they were catching them soon after they do these events. So that's why all of our pages who are speaking this truth, all of our pages get shadow banned. Because they know as soon as it happens, we're going to be talking about it. That's how fast it is now. This is not like 9/11, where we figured it out 7 days, I mean, not 7 days, but 7 years or 3 years afterwards and 10 years afterwards. Oh, look, they were using this in cartoons. Look, we were using this in television shows. Now we are seeing it in real time. We're able to decode it in less than 24 hours. So we are telling people the next 9/11 event is coming. It's coming. They shot at Trump at 6/11. You could turn it upside down. You can flip it. You can mirror it. And it's going to be 9/11. What do you think is coming in the winter solstice? If summer solstice is already hot, you know what they're doing in the winter solstice. And the election is on 11/5. So what's coming after 11/5? 11/6. What you do? You could turn it upside down. You could flip it. You can mirror it. It's 9/11. 11/7. It's the same inversion of July 11th. It'll be 11/7. You could flip it. It'd be 7/11. World Trade 7 went down. The two towers went down. That's 11/7. You can go to 11/9. Same thing. Reverse 9/11. You could do this all the way up to, I would say, 11/16, 11/17, 11/18, 11/19. Now, you know they're ready to tamper with this election process. They already showing you. We already had a blackout before this one. And people think, oh, I how can this happen? How can this happen? I say, it's easy. Look at who the CEO, look at who the CEOs of these companies are. The CEO of CrowdStrike that created this worldwide blackout. What happened? It's during or after the summer solstice. All you have to do is look at the dates. 620 plus 20 plus 24, which is 6/20/2024. It equals 70. If I add them up, if I do basic addition, I just add them up. If I add up the day that the blackout happened, 7 plus 19 plus 20 plus 24 equals 70. If I do 6 plus 20 plus 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 4 is 34. If I do 7 plus 19 plus 0, plus 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 4 is 34. If I do 6 plus 20 is 26. If I do 7 plus 19 is 26. If I do 6 plus 20 plus 2 plus 4 is 32. If I do 7 plus 19 plus 2 plus 4 is 32. So really, they matched the summer solstice date addition equations. They just matched the dates, is what I'm saying. That's why it happened. That is why it happened. Get over it. This is why they do it. They do it based on math. If the fear of Yahuwah is wisdom, what do you think the love of Satan is? Stupidity. So they have to keep everything very basic for people who are in sin. Sin does not make you smart. That's why a lot of so-called Christians and believers can't fathom the rest of the books, because sinning makes you dumb. Sinning makes you pervert. Sinning makes you manipulate. Sinning causes you not to have full understanding and wisdom of Scripture, because you're not using the fullness of the gospel, which means you don't have any fear of the Most High. When you do every pagan holiday that you do, when you do every birthday that you do, that is sin attached to you. And it's attached to your household. So the most times when you're at home, stupidity happens. Your decisions become stupidity. And what happens is, when you sit in stupidity too long, you have to go out. And when you go out with other people who are just as stupid. So all your actions, all your consequences, all pile up on you. Because of what? Stupidity. And not the fear of the Most High, which is wisdom and understanding. It is a spiritual game that we play here. People look at this like expect or give man too much credit for the fact that they have companies and create all these inventions. And most of the time, some of these inventions have been here long before Tesla even came up. They had electrical cars in the 30s and 40s before Tesla even became a thing. If they can control knowledge and history and other books that we have not seen, it's easy to form an entire matrix around things being new if they control everything. You think they haven't done this before? Why do you think they burned down the Library of Alexandria? Why do you think they burned all that knowledge down? You think they didn't keep any of it? Did they just torched everything? No, they kept it. But they didn't want the nations to learn that they have technology now that they had back then. And they had it when they didn't have full understanding of what they were doing or what they could do, but they were doing pieces of it. They had the foundation of what they could do. Certain resources they couldn't have or didn't have, but they had a mind to do it. They know where to, how to get it done. So the CEO of CrowdStrike, his daughter passed away. Her name is Allegra. His daughter passed away in May, a couple of years ago. But her birth was literally 2 or 3 days ago. So she died of some some brain-related injury, a brain-related illness, which is probably a sacrifice, because he didn't become popular or known in mainstream media until about 2 or 3 years ago. So when I did the numbers of her death compared to this date, It had 322 on it. It had some other Masonic numerology to it too. But I was like, okay. So they basically did this ritual around her death and her birth. Then the program that disabled all of the systems worldwide was called Falcon. And we know Horus is the sun god, and his head is a falcon. So you get the summer solstice and the sun god. So what do you think you get? You get a ritual. You get a mass confusion ritual. You get an order out of chaos ritual. You get a managed ritual. So what they're showing you is that they're going to come back, and they could, when the time of the election, like, oh, we had another blackout. They can't just do a one-off. They have to predict the program, the whole world into it now, because the time is coming. It's not like putting it on TV and running it through cartoons, running it through the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, running it through Top Gun. It's not like that anymore. Now they're gonna aim bigger, and the way they're gonna do it is gonna be around summer solstice, winter solstice. So I said in a couple of episodes, in a couple of past episodes, I have said, get prepared, because if your electrical grid runs, if your water runs on an electrical grid, that goes down, you're not gonna have any water in your community. The grocery stores, they're gonna be done. The banks, they're gonna be done. You're not gonna be able to pull money out. I'm not gonna say empty out all your bank account money, but have a little cash on the side. Start being chummy chummy with the righteous, because you and the righteous are gonna help each other out through a bartering system. That's gonna come back. They may not happen after literally right after your election, but it's gonna happen where it's gonna taint the election a bit, where then when people get too wise, they'll shut the whole thing down. The internet don't work. The services systems don't work. Networks won't work. They're already talking, oh, we had a problem up here, and we couldn't get our new station on, blah, blah, blah. It's coming. And people who don't have knowledge and wisdom and understanding and seeing what's going on are just saying, oh, it's not about us. We could just pat cast it to the side. But it's not, it's coming. You have to prepare yourself. And the way you could prepare yourself is paying a little bit of attention to what's going on. You know this world works on numbers. You know this world works on rituals. So if you better start paying attention to the summer solstice and what happens around there, and the winter solstice and what happens around there. All these celebrities were dying in a row, and some of them, three or four celebrities in one day, were dying 3 weeks after the summer solstice. They used all these celebrities' deaths to turn up the volume, to try to get you away from investigating this fake Trump shooting. Because it makes no sense. The kid, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was in a commercial for BlackRock. BlackRock owns a percentage of CrowdStrike. Come on. It's all running together. It's all in your face, and people just sit here and say, "Oh, they don't want to believe it." And the thing is, with people not believing certain stuff is because they feel they should have more control over this system and over their lives than they do now. So as people go to these events and people vote harder, people protest harder, and people get into this system and poll for their candidate harder, because they feel that they are not having the same type of power and control that they had in this world now as they did when they were in this really in this world, like in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s. People felt they had more control and power over their future. And when they are being shown that they don't, it's like a sunk cost fallacy, they call it. Like, I'm already invested in this system, so I might as well continue to invest harder because I want to change something. And you're not going to be able to change nothing. You're not. Not even down to the local level. You're not going to change nothing. Everything is already predicted, programmed to a point where it's not enough anomalies to change anything. Even the shooters are managed. Even the Secret Service, who huddled around him, you know, they dropped fake blood on his face and ear and all that. They're not going to let any Freemason or high-ranking Freemason that's for this system ever get shot at. Especially what they want to do with him? No. They would never take that chance. And the fact that kid wasn't even aiming at Trump. He was aiming at Corey, whatever, Corey, CC. They were aiming at him. That's who his target was. As soon as he shot him, they shot back. And he was sitting there staring at him. It wasn't nothing over there. It was a building, and I just now seeing the water tower. Before I was like, where's this water tower that this woman said she saw shooters from? But water tower was far off. It was literally a roof, almost the same level as the stands. It wasn't like he was at a very high point. So really, I don't know, see how Corey was shielding when he was the first shot that got hit. It wasn't one shot they were at Trump and then one shot at Corey. It was one shot Corey, Trump grabbed his ear and went down. And then they shot back. It wasn't like multiple shots. They shot him after he completed his task, his target. I mean, it's funny how they get these kids right out of high school. 2 years, a year and a half removed from high school is when these kids pop up and do shootings. And it's always, oh, he was bullied in school. Fam, he was out of school for 2 years. Now you get upset and go back? You're not even going back to shoot up a school. I've been bullied, so I'm gonna go to a Trump rally where I'm a registered Trump voter, a Republican voter, and I'm gonna just shoot the guy that I'm supposedly idolize. It made no sense. And a football player died, and he died 3 weeks and 3 days after the summer solstice. Jacoby Jones, and he was a Omega Psi Phi. Seems like all the brothers who are doing this work, especially ones that who are coming out of the league, they're not getting touched. Like a Daniel Muir, Isaac Bruce, who went up on his Hall of Fame speech and it basically said we were Israelites. Nothing happens to him. But Omega Psi Phi, BGOs and Greeks and Boulay and Prince Hall Freemasons, they get popped off. They're not even a threat to this matrix. They're doing what this matrix is doing. That's why I said you need to separate yourself. When you are doing what the enemy wants you to do, you are food for this system. You are not special. Satan wants you to be involved with this system. He wants you to do the traditions of this world. He wants you to not do anything that's righteous or do anything of Yah, because then he can lay hands on you. I think Satan is one of the best lawyers ever because he knows spiritual legalities. He knows I can touch you soon as you put your hand in those pagan holidays. I can touch you sooner you idolize yourself. I can touch you soon as you want fame and stardom. I can touch you then because that's where I play at. I play in vanity. Going to say this too. And I have to say it because I am very prideful, not in a bad way, but I'm righteously proud that I find real biblical locations where I see them at. And when people put out work, or I see people talking against these biblical locations, I have to say something because I don't want my work or what I'm saying. And people think, and I'm not doing this work or researching and feel like, oh, he's a false teacher because look, this person's bringing out this information. That person's bringing out that information. This person says Egypt was in America. This person says Israel is in the Middle East. This person says Babylon is over here. And every time I put out biblical location, it hurts my work. So I got to defend my work. So people say, oh, Egypt is in America, but it's in the Grand Canyon, only because they see a similar formation of the Sphinx in the Grand Canyon. When there is no other archaeological evidence that would ever point to the fact that Egypt is America, this came from a Freemason that wrote a book about how all these biblical locations were near the Grand Canyon and near Utah. Before they were even in America, before there was an America, there was an Africa. There was no ancient America where these biblical locations popped up at. Just like there's a Bethesda, Maryland. A Moab mountain in America. That's why all these, nothing was here before Africa. Africa was the cradle of civilization. Africa was the cradle of civilization. I'm going to say this again. Africa was the cradle of civilization. When Noah came out of that ark, they were in Africa. And when they spread out into Africa. Japheth went up north. And one of Japheth's children, if you read the book of Yasher, one of his children came into Shem's dwelling because he didn't want to be in the European area. He wanted to be in Africa. So by being in Africa, he mingled with the line of Shem. And this is where the Persians come from. That's why the Persians look the way they look. Because Shem blended with Shem, Ham blended with Shem, and Ham blended with Ham. Since Japheth was made entirely white, some of his children may have carried that gene, the gene that Noah had, that albinism, went into Japheth, and it could have gone in most of his children. So Madai married into Shem. So that's why the Persians at that time looked the way they were. That's why if you look through old biblical maps or old maps in Davy Rumsey's map collection, it will show Medo-Persia or Media or Media, or Madai. That's where the Persians started out from. And what was close to them? Babylon. What was close to them? Syria. They didn't even call Mesopotamia, Mesopotamia. They called Aram Naharaim, if you read the book of Yasher. If you look in David Rumsey's map collection, I'm going to keep saying this. Because I am not going to let people make my work look like I'm foolish and I don't know what I'm talking about. The land of Shinar, if you go to David Rumsey's map collection.com and type in Shinar, S-E-N-N-A-R, you will find that it is in East Africa. That is biblical Shinar. It is mentioned in Yasher. And the Syrians or Assyrians, what they call it, Aram and Ashur. Akkadian, that empire runs right next to, on the west side of Africa, northwest side of Africa, runs into Babylon. If you even look at the Babel Mandab, they changed the spelling to an Arabic name. But its original name was Babel Mandab, the Gate of Tears. What happens? When the rocks fell down off the tower, they wept because they would have to go all the way. That's how tall this tower was. They had to go all the way. It took, what, a year or so to go all the way down. So when people fell over or whatever, they wept or didn't pay attention to them. So we know by scripture and by this location that it's in East Africa. It is not in Baghdad. It is not in Iraq. Let's go to scripture. Yirmiyahu 51:60-62. So Yirmiyahu wrote in a sefer all the evil that should come upon Babel, even all these words that are written against Babel. And Yirmiyahu said to Sarayahu, when you come to Babel and shall see and shall read all these words, then shall you say, O Yahuwah, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. Desolate forever. And it shall be, when you have made an end of reading the sefer, that you shall bind it a stone to it and cast it in the midst of Parath, which is Euphrates. So, if we go to modern day Babylon now, There was a population in 2023, 1,820,700 people. 1,820,700 people. Who lying? Because the Father I serve, the Elohim I serve, the Adonai I serve, our Creator, don't lie. So it can't be Babylon in Iraq. It is Babylon in East Africa. If you look up the area near Sudan, there's places that is desolate. Those pyramids or the pyramids of Meroe, which they call the Kingdom of Cush, where we know Nimrod was a seed of Ham. And they tell you, oh, this is Cush. This is where the Babylonian Empire was. This is where Nebuchadnezzar was. They were in Africa. So if they were in Africa, that means Yasharel would have been in Africa. Because if you look at the topography of biblical Israel compared to the Yasharel, compared to the Israel over there, it does not make sense. You hear nothing but mountains. I'm gonna bring them down to my mountains. This person went up to this mountain, and they were at this mountain here, and they were at this mountain here, there. They were not in the same area going up the same mountain. The land was mountainous. Where is the land is big and mountainous? Africa. Where would the Rephaim and the Nephilim be able to hide and be out of sight? In Africa, in the wilderness. There's no way in the world that it would have a lot. There's no way in the world that Joshua would imprison five kings in this cave. Five kings, that means five kingdoms, will be able to fit in a land no bigger than Jersey on top of all the other nations that were surrounding and the Rephaim and Nephilim that were there, who could eat up the land. How is that land over there flowing with milk and honey? How is that land mentioned in scripture in the beginning or in Exodus that talks about valleys and springs and fountains? Where do you see valleys, springs, fountains, mountains, lions, jackals? Where do you see that in that land over there? Of course, they'll tell you, like, oh, these animals went extinct years ago when these lands were in the biblical days. That's a lie. We continue need to rely not on the Father to lead us, but we continue to rely on those who are not skilled in the fear of the Most High. So they don't have any wisdom or understanding. They're just backing up what the last person said they found, and they're just creating that lie and narrative, and they pass it on through generations. They did the same thing with the world being a globe. Before, everybody thought it was flat. But somewhere, Satan has raised up false archaeologists or false scientists and said, no, say it is a globe. And everybody else said, you know, you're right, it's a globe. Oh, here's the picture of it. Before its time, it's a globe. It's a globe, 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 globe. And they just keep passing that lie on. And we put all our faith in people who truly do not know. And do not have the same fear of Yah. And if you go through Genesis 18:90, the Genesis 18:90 Darby edition, when it talks about Lot and Abram leaving out of Egypt, it says, oh, they left out of the left out and went into the Negev. That means south. They mistranslated that on purpose because Israel has called the southern part of that land the Negev. So people think, oh, he went into the Negev, which is South Israel. No, Negev means south. Negev means south. It cannot be that land because if it was, why in 19 something in the land in the search in the search for land for the Jews, why in the 1939s did they skip over Palestine, which they thought, which they said it was all this biblical lands, and through all these ancient maps has shown that Jerusalem was here and Jerusalem was there and Bethlehem was there. Why would you skip over that land to go into Southeast Africa? Not once, but twice. And then try to go into North Egypt once. Why? Why would they go all the way across the country in Canada and go all the way into South America? Why would they go all these destinations across the world and skip over what they said was the true biblical location of Israel? Why would they do that if it was a real place? So Genesis 1890 Darby edition, it says he went into the south, which means straight down from Egypt. If you go to KJV 1900, it says into the south. Let's go to Gibeon. Now we know in Joshua 10:11, the Most High threw heavy stones. If you go to the Gibeon meteorites, where are they found? Are they found in Gibeon, Israel? No. They are found in Gibeon, Africa. Look up those meteorites. I said this, I keep bringing this information out time and time again. But people still want to go in and validate that that land over there is the biblical land and that Babylon is the biblical land and Iraq and that America is Egypt. If you don't know anything about these biblical locations, stop preaching it, stop teaching it, stop showing it. Because you can't mix truth with a lie. If you are not ready to show people the truth of these locations, stop bringing them out. Stop telling people about them because they're not correct. Especially when people are already showing you. If you go to Truth Unveiled 777, just watch his videos. He breaks it down better than I can. I can just go to the maps and say, oh, I'm good with it being Babylon being here, or Hebron being here, or Ramah and Carmel being here. But he breaks it down amazingly, which is why they kept trying to disable his channel. But he does a breakdown location of the Garden of Eden. He does a breakdown location of the real Assyrian Empire. He does a breakdown he does a breakdown video of Babylon. And he does a break. It got removed. I don't know if it's up there anymore, but he did a whole breakdown of how he found all these locations in Africa, especially Jerusalem, that he found multiple maps with Jerusalem being in that area. Even broke down the name of Dutch names and German names that were in that area that pointed to the location being Jerusalem. There's a brother who found an old Catholic map of it being near Namibia. He had found an outline of the true building of Yasharel and the temple in Jerusalem. And the Catholics had it. He did a video breakdown of that. I just can't remember his page. But he did a breakdown of that. And he fitted it right near where Namibia was desolate. Because real biblical Yasharel, and just like real Babylon, would be desolate to this day. It does not say that people will go back into Babylon after the Most High destroyed, and then say people will go back into Jerusalem when the Most High destroyed. We have not been gathered. We have not been gathered. And we know this because we know that they are trying to make fake prophecy happen by bringing all those Ashkenazi German Jews into Palestine. Or Pelesheth is what it's called in scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 15 talks about Agag. If you go to David Rumsey's map collection, you will find multiple locations where Agag, the king of the Amalekites, was in Africa. You can go to 1 Chronicles 21:29, Moshe built up a tabernacle for Yahuwah in a high place at Gibeon. First Chronicle 14:16, David smote the host of the Philistines. All these places near Gibeon. Gilgal. It really does upset me. Because it makes it look like I'm not doing the work. That I'm just making these locations up. And not too many people are actually doing the real biblical locations. So when people are out there talking about America's Egypt and this and that, nah. I'm going to stand up and say, nah, that ain't right. If you ain't know what you're doing, stop doing it. Because you're teaching people wrong. And it makes, because of that, it makes it look like what I'm doing is wrong. And I ain't going to stand for that. I'll end it with this, because there's another thing about this Israelite community that really rubs me the wrong way. And it's about these curses and blessings. I really do get tired of Israelites keep reposting and posting information that has to do with when we were in our curses. How many times are you going to keep posting that they hung us, that they stretched us, that they burned us, that they made our businesses and our houses desolate, that they snatched us from our foremothers and threw them in the fire or blew them up or gave them to alligator bait? How many times are you going to keep telling how different stories of people being hung and beaten? How many times are you going to keep showing that and posting that? We keep posting the curses in Deuteronomy 28. We keep posting the curses at the end of 28 instead of talking about the blessings at the head of 28. No one does that. I noticed this with this community. No one does it. Even those Israelite camps, they sit there with the same signs, the same false tribe chart, and all this about Deuteronomy 28:68. They have not moved on from that. It's like you guys are trauma bonded to a history that you never participated in. And a lot of that has to do with, oh, this is why we're ravaged. This is why I'm poor. This is why my consequences caught up to my actions is because white people in 1950s and 40s and 30s and the 1800s did this to us. This is why we can't find footing. That's because those camps and most of those brothers come from places where their mothers didn't have the proper knowledge and understanding to pick a man that would help raise them. So it's easy to say, oh, we were destroyed because the white man did this to us. So you become trauma bonded and a victim to a past you never participated in. And really, it was just your mom or whoever in your family did not make good decisions, did not make good choices with their bodies or who they choose to procreate with. So you come out of broken homes, and it's not because of slavery. We stuck together during slavery. We were a two-parent household during desolation and slavery. But we don't want to go there. So now they attach everything into Deuteronomy 28 and on down. The middle of the chapter down into its curses. And you keep posting it, reposting that. It makes other people who are trying to wake up into the truth shy away from it, because now people are trying to say, oh, the slavery didn't happen. Slave ships didn't happen. They got the diagram from slave ships from Egypt, so it really didn't happen. There's no slave ships to be found, so it's not true. That's what they're saying, because brothers now don't want to be known for slaves. They don't want to be known that this happened to us. They want to be pharaohs. They want to be kings. We are pushing them away from the truth. So this is what we should be reading. We should be reading Deuteronomy 28, the first 15. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahuwah Elohaka to guard and to do all his commandments, which I shall command you this day, that Yahuwah Elohaka will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah Elohaka. Fam, blessings shall come on you and overtake you. He said in one, but I think Galatians, did he say, or Malachi, did he say, I'm going to pour out so much blessing on you, you won't have store to fill it. You won't have room to store these blessings about to bestow upon you if you offer to me again. From when I read that, I was like, I'm going out there to buy the most expensive meat I can find and do an ascending smoke offering. And I'm not doing it just to get blessings. I'm doing it because I found the way to worship and serve my creator. Where and before, when we were in Christianity, we didn't know how to serve anything. We were serving ourselves. We wasn't putting the Father ahead of us. And we weren't truly worshiping the Son neither. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Now, if you feel like you're not getting blessed and you're only talking about your curses, that means there's something in your walk that you are not completely doing right. If you don't talk about these blessings. For instance, I'm going to talk about my blessings. I think the Most High came into my mind and said, you know what? Now you have these finances set up. He had me set up, I feel, the way to pay my car note. I was paying it twice a month. I was paying my car note for the last year, I was double paying my car note. Didn't even know it. So it was coming out in the beginning of the month. It was coming out in like the middle of the end of the month. And here in my mind, I'm thinking I'm paying it once. So I know I wasn't sinning, that I was stupid. I was in the Ruach HaKodesh. I was righteous. But during this whole time, for almost a whole year, I've been double paying my note. And then for some reason, I just happened to see it. I happened to catch it the day that I was like, wait a minute, I paid my car note. Why am I getting double dipped? So I called him and said, no, Mr. Johnson, you've been paying your car note twice. And the thing is, I wasn't even hurting for money paying my car note twice. That's the wild part about it. But it freed me up, as my car note was really paid off till February. So I got money freed up to help out people I love because they were in a situation where they needed my help. That's the blessing. And even when I'm helping the people I love out, I still have money left over after helping them out through their obligation to something else. That's the blessing. That's him coming in and saying, you know what? I'm going to help him do this without having him knowing what I'm doing. I'm going to hide this from him for a time, and then I'm going to bring it back so he knows this was me. That's the blessings that's going to overtake me or have overtaken me. Being in certain situations and opportunities that fell on my plate, I know it had nothing to do with me doing it because I don't do anything. I'm at a point where I just sit and wait and be able to achieve financial comfortability through Yah has been my biggest blessing. As I told you before, I came from not really respecting money, and money wasn't really a thing to me. So now I'm in a position where I'm not playing anymore. I'm not getting those $135,000 checks a week. Then I'm able to understand and have a little bit more respect to it, but I'm not want for anything. Because all of the times I have give alms, the times I have give offerings, all those things come back to me. Because I'm serving my creator through my heart, not through the lust of my flesh. Because I don't care truly about money, but he allows me to have it. He allows me to have opportunities. He allows me to have the desires of my heart, especially when it comes to my relationship. The desire of my heart came because I was obedient to him. I didn't waver left or to the right. So everything I'm getting blessed with, I have worked for him. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Now, I don't have flocks. I don't have sheep. I don't have kind. I don't have cattle. But I got fruit of my ground. I got two mango trees in the back. And it so happens, I just noticed that I have banana trees, a coconut tree, and a mango tree right next to each other. So the coconut tree is cross-pollinating with the mango tree so that my mangoes taste like coconut mango. And a little bit of banana, that's why they're so sweet. They're all in the same ground. And they didn't start tasting like this until literally a year and a half. I just noticed it because they fell during May. So when I taste some of them, I was tasting the coconut, which is amazing to me. So I'm getting blessed was something I never even planted. That was just here. And just over time, I can't even explain it to y'all. I really wish I could have done like a whole assembly with y'all and brought this assembly. I mean, brought these mangoes to the assembly so you could taste what I'm talking about. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahuwah shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Some of you go through this. Some of you wonder why your friends or your frenemies don't want nothing to do with you. This is why. He's removing or setting these people away from you because of your light, because of your righteousness, and because of your obedience. We look at it as, oh, nobody wants to be around us. Oh, people are leaving us. Or people are mad that we are like this. No, no, no. The Most High is exposing who your enemies are. And your enemies are an enemy of Him, which means they don't want to follow the righteous way. They don't want to follow the Torah. They want to be the adversary, the enemy of the Most High. So that is going to be your enemy. It works hand in hand. So He's protecting you. Yahuwah shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. And He shall bless you in the land which Yahuwah Elohaka gives you. We not, may not be in our land, but when y'all guys move and you make decisions, or I want to move location or move houses, all this place is still His. This entire world is still His. He created this world. So if He needs to put you somewhere that you are going to benefit, He's going to do it based on your obedience, your walk, your journey, your faithful and loyalness to Him. Yahuwah shall establish you a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto you, if you shall guard the commandments of Yahuwah Elohaka and walk in His ways. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahuwah, and that shall be afraid of you. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahuwah, and they shall be afraid of you. How? Being separate. That's how He separates you. He separates you, humbles you, exalts you. Separate, humble, exalt. Separate, humble, exalt. And everybody has to pay attention to it. Because now you the talk of the family. You the talk of the town. This person acting weird. This person acts this way. Why all of a sudden they being so self-righteous? So then they pay attention to everything you post. Pay attention to how you walk. Pay attention to how you talk. They want to see, because they've been seeing the world for too long. They don't know what it looks like when it's set apart. And Yahuwah shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and the land which Yahuwah sworn to your fathers to give you. Yahuwah shall open unto you His good treasure, the heavens to give the rain unto your land in His season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. That's going to be a day. That all of this financial, this generational wealth that we keep regurgitating over and over again because we think we're going to get reparations. We don't need reparations. When it's time for these nations to be spoiled, where do you think this money is going to go to? When they open up the vaults of the British kingdom that they keep down there, all that Nazi gold they got down there, where do you think that money's going to go? It's going to go right back where they got it from. We're going to spoil those nations. The gold came out of Africa, so they need to take it back. And Yahuwah shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of Yahuwah Elohaka, which I command you this day, to guard and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. And then you know 15 is, but it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah, to guard and do all His commandments and His statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. We're not in our curses anymore. That 400-year curse is over. We should be talking about our blessings. We should be talking about, it's no shame of telling what the Most High has done for us. If we can turn around and post all of our curses, why can't we post when the Most High has blessed us? So people can know that, yo, they were truly getting blessed. They need to see us being blessed. Because the world still thinks prosperity Christianity is being blessed. Because you've seen them shucking, jiving, and huckabucking on stage with, they're coming out now with their BGO gear, or some of these mega church pastors are bragging that they got private jets, bragging they got mansions, bragging they can do this and that, and then getting caught in their lie in scripture. But people still believe that this is blessing. So I'm gonna give more to get these blessings that these Freemasonic pastors have. They need to know what real righteous blessing looks like. I don't care if you got to post it. I don't care if you got to walk it and talk it. But we should start using the first 14 of Deuteronomy 28 to our advantage instead of doing the last chapter of 15 on down into these curses that overtook us, that most of us never even went through these curses. We didn't have to put on fetters of iron and shackles around our neck and feet. We were caught up in our own stupidity because we were blinded by following the true way. Now we know what the true way is. So we should be really talking about our blessings to bring other people in. Not kick them out through always over talking our curses. So in the end, prepare for this election process. Prepare for the winter solstice because, you know, more celebrities are going to die. More rituals going to happen. It's going to be based on around the winter solstice dates. That is the high satanic season. You know, September, October, November, December are high satanic months. So be prepared. I said this before. You need to find another alternate source for water. I don't care if you got to do a delivery service. You need to do it. You better get a generator, a backup generator, if you need to or have to. If you live in a house, because obviously, I mean, you must be running on backup power if you're in a condo or a townhome or a place that's connected to a power source. I mean, they have a responsibility to help you out. It ain't like they can just leave you in the dark. But I would prepare. I mean, people were caught in the middle of ritual season and summer solstice not knowing and then couldn't get home or get to their destination or go to places they want to go. They were just stuck. My mom called me this morning, like, oh, my phone didn't work. My messages weren't getting through. So just imagine, as soon as this goes down, we're not going to be able to post and tell you what's going on. They already blocking our pages. So even if I came on here and said, hey, guys, this is what's going on, there's no guarantee that this message will get through. So you need to start preparing and relying on the Father after I told you the foundation of what was going on. I'll see you next week.